Today, we're going to be, for those of you at Sunrise Service, you get part of the same passage again. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 27. And so if you'd turn there, we're going to talk about a gentleman that there's not a whole lot mentioned about him. I mean, there's a little, but not a lot. But what is mentioned is pretty significant. And so we are going to talk this morning about Joseph of Arimathea. And so as we read this passage, we'll get into that, but I want us to understand, I want us to stop and think for just a second, what does Easter really mean to you? Think about that for yourself. Pause for just a little bit. I want you to stop and think about what it really means to you. And as we sit here and we focus on that, I want us to go into this passage thinking about the fact that when our Lord rose, life changed. And so if you would read with me, I'm going to start in verse 57, but I will skip once I get down to 61. I'm going to skip over into chapter 28. So just a warning, after 61, I'll go to chapter 28. Starting in verse 57, it says, "Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also became a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb." In chapter 28. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for the fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel of the Lord answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.'" Let's pray. Father God, my prayer this morning is that we never take a familiar passage for granted. Lord, I pray you speak to us. I pray you open our hearts. I pray you open hearts that maybe that have never been opened before. I pray you open them today. Lord, watch over us. Teach us, mold us, prepare us for what you have ahead of us. In your name I pray. Amen. Again, like I said, this is a passage that we read a little bit at Sunrise Service this morning. But I want to focus this morning in this service about Joseph. He's a wealthy man. He is a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. He was not one that consented to the death of Jesus, but he was a member of that board. So a lot of the people that he was with on a daily basis were the ones that condemned Jesus. They were the ones that wanted to turn Jesus over to be crucified. So we have Joseph, who's surrounded on a daily basis with people that don't have anything to do with Jesus. And the Bible kind of tells us that Joseph is a secret disciple. And it's getting sticky up here already. I don't know about you guys. But he was a secret disciple. Him and Nicodemus, that Jesus had talked to by night, they both believed, but it was a secret. And so this morning, as we look at his life, I want us to see how similar we are to Joseph. Now, we may not try to hide our Christianity. We may not keep it a secret, but let's look at what Joseph does. He starts out, it tells us that he went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And that Pilate had just turned Jesus over to be crucified. He had him flogged 39 times and then turned him over to be crucified. He supposedly washed his hands of the deal, which really done nothing. He was still as guilty as you and I for the fact that Jesus died on that cross. But he had him flogged and he turned him over. And then Joseph has to go to him and request the body of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a secret disciple at that point. Think of that just for a moment. He had went for however many, a couple years here probably, being a secret disciple, hiding what he believed, hiding the fact that he trusted Jesus, that he knew Jesus was the Messiah. He was a follower of Jesus. And then Jesus dies. He boldly goes to Pilate and says, "Can I have the body? Can I have the body of Jesus? I want to take it and see that it's buried." And so, immediately, there is no more flying under the radar. Here he is, all of his buddies, or so-called buddies on the Sanhedrin. You think they didn't catch that little tip? They had sat there and they wanted to make sure that Jesus was guarded for 3 days because they were afraid the disciples were going to come back and steal the body. And so they didn't go anywhere. They were watching to make sure. The Roman soldiers even went back and told the chief priest, "Hey, the tomb's empty, the body's gone." So they knew that was what was going to happen. But before all of that, they're watching every step. And they take, and one of their fellow members on the council says, "I want his body." Goes to Pilate. Goes in front of the people that hated him, the people that denied him as the Messiah, the people that wanted him crucified and saw to it that he was crucified. Joseph has to stand up in front of them and say, "I want his body." That's pretty bold. It tells us after that that Joseph took the body and he laid it down and he wrapped it in new linen, clean cloth, expensive cloth, and he wrapped him up and he used myrrh and different aloes to wrap around the body. That was the custom of the way they did it. But this was a rich, wealthy man, and he didn't wait for somebody else to do it. And he didn't pay somebody else to do it. He cared enough about Jesus. It was personal enough. His relationship with Jesus was personal enough that he saw to it with his own hands. So he takes this linen cloth and he wraps up the body of Jesus. And he prepares it for burial. And then he goes on and he's a wealthy man and he had his tomb that had been hewn out of rock. They had chiseled it out of this big rock so it would be a tomb for him when he passed away. He not only asked for the body, he not only wrapped the body himself, but he gave the body of Jesus his own tomb. And then he takes and they roll a stone in front of it. Look at what happened to Joseph because of the death of Jesus. We've not even got to the resurrection yet. This is a man that was a disciple of Jesus, had followed him from a distance, secretly, however you want to say it, and then all of a sudden, he sees Jesus die on the cross. He sees the darkness, the earthquake, I'm sure he heard that the veil had torn. He knew that the Messiah had died. He had heard what Jesus had said, I'm sure. I'm sure it had been relayed to him, if he didn't hear it firsthand, that I'll rise again in 3 days. But he wasn't thinking about that. What he's thinking about is this man that he followed is more important than me being secret. This man that I cared about, I'm willing to get involved with my own hands. This man that I cared about has no place to be buried, and so I'm going to give him mine. He goes from being a secret disciple to in front of everybody. Not to show everybody, but because he cared that much about Jesus. If the death of Jesus changed Joseph that much, can you imagine what the resurrection did to Joseph? I mean, it tells us that he rolled a stone in front of the tomb and departed. He was the last one to see him in there. He knew he was dead. He knew because he had wrapped him up. He had seen him crucified. Now he's gone. What do you think the resurrection did to Joseph? If it altered his life from a secret disciple to bold, compassionate, and devoted, it had to have totally transformed him after word got back that he's alive. I wonder what it would have been like if you and I, just picture yourself for just a moment. You were living at that time. You weren't a disciple. You weren't a soldier. You weren't a Pharisee. You were just somebody that happened to be there. And you saw Jesus crucified. You saw them take him down and put him in a tomb. You saw them put the stone over it. You saw them seal it. You saw them guard it. And 3 days later, you just happen to be in the garden. And you feel the earth shake. And after the earth shakes, you see this angel that's like lightning come down and roll the stone away, and he's not in there. And the angel sits on the stone, and he tells these people that are there, he's not here, he's risen, just like he said. How would that change you if you were sitting there that day? If you were walking through the garden that day, how would that change you? I ask you that. I ask myself that several times this week. Because it gets us to the point that if we truly have faith in Jesus Christ, I don't have to feel that earthquake. I don't have to see that angel come down. I don't have to see that empty tomb to know that my Savior is alive. I don't have to experience a lot of those things that the people that were there at that time experienced. But I do know that they happened. Because I've read it in His Word. And I've had people tell me what has happened in their lives. And they tell me what God has done in them. And God has done things in my life. So I don't need to see the things that they saw. But if the death could change Joseph that much, and the resurrection, I'm sure, transformed him, I want to ask you a question. What has it done for you? Now, maybe some of you have already accepted Christ, and I praise God for that, but I want to ask you this question. The death of Jesus took on your sins. He died on the cross for your sins. You know that. You've accepted that. The fact that He rose from the grave allowed you to conquer death with Him. But what has it done for you lately? What has it done for you lately? I say that because too many times it's just a part of our religion. No, it's not. It is our religion. It is our faith. If we don't have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. But we look at it like it's just something that's connected. So I want to ask you, are your characteristics, are my characteristics the same as that of Joseph? He started out as a secret disciple. And he became bold at the death of Jesus. You know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for you, if you're a Christian. You've already accepted that. You know that He has gone to prepare a mansion for you in heaven, and He's coming back for you someday. And I can sit back and wait on that. But am I bold? Am I bold enough to stand for Jesus Christ and those Sanhedrin-type people that I live around? Are you bold enough to take a stance? Are you bold enough? And I'm not, by being bold, I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about taking a stand for what you believe. I'm sure Joseph didn't go up to Pilate and demand, "I want his body." No. He just went up and asked. But he cared enough that he was bold enough to go to Pilate and say, "I want his body." Are you bold enough to go up to somebody that you know wants nothing to do with Jesus and say, "Let me tell you about somebody that loves you"? Are you bold enough to do that? We wonder why the world does not hear about Jesus. It's because my mouth is shut too often, and I know that's something most of you don't believe. But when it comes to the idea of me sharing Christ or you sharing Christ, we clam up pretty quick. Well, they'll see by the way I love them. It's not the case. There's too many people out there, too many good people out there that will love them that have no idea who Jesus Christ is. I love because Jesus loved me. I'm bold because the love of Jesus Christ gives me that boldness. Next question. He got his hands dirty. He was compassionate enough. He cared about Jesus enough to take the body and to wrap it up himself. It was personal enough. He was compassionate enough. He cared enough about Jesus to get involved in a ministry for the body of Jesus. You know where this is going? Do you care enough about Jesus to get involved in His ministry? And I'm not talking about the ministry here at the church. I'm not talking about the ministry downtown. I'm talking about a ministry for Jesus. Well, what was Jesus' ministry? To love the lost. To reach out and share the gospel with those that are lost and dying. That's the ministry of Jesus. We've tacked a lot of other good things onto it, and we've tacked some bad things onto it. But sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that He came, He lived a perfect sinless life, and He died on the cross, that He gave His body up to them. He died and He rose again, and He did it for us because He loves us. That's the gospel. So I want you to think about, are you involved in that ministry? And thirdly, Joseph takes and he gives up his own tomb. Probably didn't have any others. He probably didn't have another one on the back 40 somewhere. Had one tomb hewn out. It probably cost him quite a bit to get it chiseled out, get it big enough to work. That's all he had. It wasn't like he had three tombs here, take one of mine. He gave everything he had when it came to a tomb. Because he loved Jesus. Are you willing to give everything you have because you love Jesus? Man, that's three tough questions. Are you bold? Are you compassionate? Are you devoted? Are you in a surrender? Are you going to surrender, basically, the devoted? Because if we're not as Christians, then there are probably people sitting in this room right here that will never come to understand Jesus Christ. They will never come to make a decision to follow Christ because of me. And if you're like me, then they won't do it either. Because sometimes I'm not bold enough. I sit on the bus and I don't say anything. Or I sit at the coffee shop and I don't say anything. Or I walk through the golf course and I don't say anything. Because I don't want to offend anybody. This is not the right time. Well, people, tell me when the right time is going to be. Tell me when the right time is going to be. And do I care enough that they're lost and dying? Saw a deal this week, and I want to share this with you. This is not mine, but I kind of revamped it to make it somewhat mine. But I'm not taking credit. I'm just going to take the humor. It talked about people that don't want to hear Jesus Christ from you. You know, I'm tired of you preachers standing up there on Sunday mornings or so-and-so talking to me about Jesus. I'm fine. I want to live my own life. Well, there's a story of this father and his daughter, and they're sitting watching John Wayne. Me and Hannah are watching John Wayne. And so we're going to pause it and get something to drink. And so I'm going to go out in the yard, look around, stretch my legs. And as I step off of the last step, there lays a huge snake. I'm terrified of snakes. I know of one other person, maybe two, that are terrified of snakes. So I go back in the house. My legs are stretched fine. And Hannah says, "Dad, I think I'm going to go stretch my legs." And I'm like, and I don't say a word. It's not because I'm wanting to hear the scream, because everybody in town would hear that scream. It's because I don't want to tell her how to live her life. She's an adult. It's just a snake. It's never just a snake. But what would she do to me if she came back in that house after stepping across the snake? We don't need to hear it. But we know what you would do to me. But you take that same analogy and that person that's dying and going to hell. And I know that. I've read it. I understand that. I know what the Scripture says. God's not sending them to hell. They're going to hell based on the fact that they've never accepted Jesus Christ. Hell is waiting on them at the last step. I know that. You know that. But we sit in the house on the couch and hope that we can't hear the scream. Because they're an adult. I had to make my decision. Somebody else will tell them. Maybe as they walk out, the neighbor will say, "Hey, there's a snake on the stairs." It doesn't work that way. We are called to be compassionate to those that are lost and dying and going to hell. But until we learn to love who God loves, we will never hate what God hates. me say that again. If we don't love who God loves, and that's everybody, I don't care what lifestyle you have. I don't care what you've done. If I don't learn to love who God loves, then I will never learn to hate what God hates. And that's the sin and the perverted filth in our world. That's what I'm supposed to hate. I don't hate the person. I'm supposed to hate what God hates. God hates sin. But He loves the people. And we get it out of whack sometimes, and because those people are involved in that sin, let's just lump it all together. It doesn't work that way. Because we are to have compassion for those that Jesus loves. He says, if you love them, that's how you show you love me. Now, don't get me wrong to say that that stuff is right, because it is not. It is an abomination before the gates of hell. According to His Word, I'm not judging people, I'm reading His Word. But what I've got to do is I've got to care enough about the people out there that are going down that road. They're just, I don't know how many steps they've got left till they get to that snake. But yet I sit on my couch and do nothing. And then to surrender. And I think that's really where it all goes back to. I can be bold sometimes and not. And I can be compassionate sometimes and not. But when it comes to surrendering everything I have, God, this is my tomb. This is all I've got. It's all yours. Until I can surrender. And that's an all-time thing. When Jesus went on the cross, when somebody went on a Roman cross, they didn't come down. It was all the way. When you surrender, when I surrender to make Him the Lord of my life, it's all the way. There's no part way. This morning, we come here to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came out of that grave. He didn't need the stone moved. He came out on His own. He rose from the dead. He ascended on high. He's coming back for us. Celebrate that every day. Not just on Easter. Celebrate that every day. Because there's somebody waiting to get involved in that celebration. But they just don't know anything about it. We want to acknowledge the love it took, the power it took for Christ to rise and conquer the grave. We're the only ones that can do that. No other religion can do that. They're saviors. If that's what you want to call them, are still in the ground. Mine's alive and living. And I celebrate Him today. I celebrate His rising today, but I need to do that tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. So as Christians, if you really want to celebrate the risen Savior, then you do it the way Joseph did. You're bold in your faith. You're compassionate in your loving. And you're devoted in your surrendering. But if you're sitting here this morning, or maybe happen to be listening online, and you're like, hey, I'm just here just because I'm here with somebody else. I'm here because I have to be. I pray that this Easter is different for you than it ever has been before. Because what we're celebrating, you don't understand. And I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm just wanting to point out that if you understood the fact that the Creator of the universe sent His Son enough to die on the cross for you, you would acknowledge that. And you would surrender to that love and that power. Knowing everything that He's done for you, knowing everything that He does for you, and knowing everything He's going to do for you. But all He wants is for you to choose to love Him. That's what it takes. Man, it's scary to get up and walk down an aisle. Or it's scary to get up and talk to somebody, a parent or a brother or sister or a friend, about accepting Christ. So I'm asking you to be bold. I'm asking you to be bold in the sense that if it means anything to you, you'll step out. Because there's not a person here that doesn't want you to. But you don't have to step out here. These aren't magical aisles, but you do have to step before Him. Man, understand what compassion is when you see the love of Christ and you want to love Him back. That's what I want you to do. And then I want you to surrender everything you have to Him. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And then Easter becomes Easter. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for, Lord, this day that we celebrate. But Lord, it's more than that. God, if I come here and we just talk about celebrating, and we go away just being excited and happy, that's going to wear off. But Lord, if we take Your word that You've given to us and we apply it to our lives, then we should celebrate every single day. Father, I pray for those out there that don't know You, that today might be that day. For those that do know You, Lord, I pray that today will be different than yesterday. Tomorrow will be different than today. God, we can't do that without You. Watch over us. Draw us into Your presence. Lord, may we live with You as the Lord of our lives. In Your name we pray. Amen.